I'll open with an old story that comes from the days before telephones and texting and even before the radio, when this was the most advanced form of communication available. Does anyone know what that is, by the way? Telegraph machine. Was anyone around for the telegraph? No, no one wants to admit that. Well, as the story goes, a young man applied for a job as a telegraph operator. And answering the ad that he saw in the newspaper, he went to the address that was listed. And when he arrived, he found this large, busy office filled with all sorts of noise and activity, including, of course, the sound of telegraphs in the background. And he walked in, and there was a sign on the receptionist's counter that instructed job applicants to fill out a form and to wait until they were called into the interviewer's office. So the young man filled out his form, and he sat down, and there was a number of other applicants that had beat him there that he sat among. They were all waiting to be summoned into the interviewer's office. After a few minutes, the young man stood up. He crossed the room in front of all the other applicants, went in the door into the interviewer's office, and naturally the other applicants kind of perked up and wondered what was going on and kind of muttered to themselves that they didn't hear any summons yet. What was he doing? And they assumed that this guy who went in all brash would be disqualified because he hadn't followed the directions. But to their surprise, within a few minutes, he appears from the interviewer's office along with his new employer, who escorts him out and says, "Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming, but the job has been filled." And of course, the other applicants began grumbling, complaining with one another, and finally one spoke up and said, "Well, wait a minute, he was the last guy here. The seven of us have been sitting out here for a long time. He never called us in. We never got to get interviewed. This isn't fair." To which the employer said, "I'm sorry, but all the time you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, come on into the office. The job is yours. None of you heard it or understood it. This young man did, and the job is his." I recognize we live in a world that is full of busyness and activity. We've discussed that a bit these last couple weeks, much like that office. And we often find ourselves, as we discussed last week, distracted, hurried, unable to listen well, unable to seem to focus our attention into the still small voice of God speaking into our lives. So just open with the question this morning. Are you tuned in to God's voice? Are you tuned in to God speaking into your life? Are you listening for God to speak? Do you believe that God still speaks to his people today? As we begin, maybe not this week, maybe this week, but can you think of a time where you recognize God speaking into your life? If you can, you might just jot down a couple notes to remind yourself of that on the back of your bulletin. As I think about this subject of talking about God speaking to us, I recognize this is a touchy subject because many of us have had really negative experiences. Maybe it was a televangelist on TV or someone else saying, "God spoke to me and said this," and we just recognize there's something off in what's going on. Some of us have had people in our lives that maybe were domineering or just really in our face who, you know, "God told me to tell you this and you should do this," and we just, something seems off. And so this can be a touchy subject, and it also can be a difficult subject because some of us would say, honestly, we're not really sure if God has spoken into our lives. Well, this morning as we continue our series on following God when the way seems unclear, I want to look at the words of Jesus that we heard just a few moments ago in the experience of Samuel. And I trust that we will be, as we leave, more aware of how we can better listen for and hear God's voice in our lives. And let's begin by, again, looking to the words of Jesus from John 10. Hopefully, there we go. "Truly, truly," by the way, before I read this, Jesus is speaking to some religious leaders who really haven't understood him, even though he's right in their midst. And so this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold, by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Then we're told this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was trying to say to them. Jesus, again, is speaking to a group of those who are unable to recognize him for who he is. And so Jesus uses this illustration of a shepherd, saying the sheep hear his voice as he calls and leads them out. He says the sheep follow the shepherd because they know his voice. They don't know the voice of strangers, so they don't follow them. And then we get the note that they didn't understand what Jesus was saying. And a few verses later, in case we didn't catch who the shepherd is, Jesus continues. This is in verse 14. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. It's a pretty high standard of knowing someone. It says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Just let these words sink in for a moment. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He says, I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Those are really strong statements. If we're to take Jesus at his word, what is our expectation for our ability to know and to be able to follow God's voice in our lives? It seems like this is a pretty high expectation. I want to talk just for a moment about the idea of tuning in and whether you have the newest technology and, you know, Sirius satellite radio or whatever it is in your car that's all digital and automatic, or you still have one of the old stereos with the dial on it that you have to get it in just the right place to get the least fuzz and most of the station you're trying to listen to. There's a couple things that are true about pretty much any radio. First of all, they only work when you turn them on, right? You got to actually turn the thing on to hear anything. But secondly, you have to tune into a station to hear it. And tuning into a station means you're not tuned into anything else. The more you tune solely into one thing, the more clearly it comes through. If you're slightly off, you know, especially with the dial, you know, you get a bunch of that fuzz, or you get the interference of another station coming over the top, and it's really hard to hear what you're trying to hear. Other voices are there. In our lives, I recognize from this statement of Jesus, he talks about how the sheep follow him because they know his voice, and they don't follow strangers because they don't know those voices. I just recognize that quite often it's easy for us to listen to stranger voices in our lives. To listen to some of the wrong, maybe the loudest voices around us. Maybe it's the lies of sin. Maybe it's the hurt and the baggage we carry. But these voices that tell us things that aren't true, and yet we sort of tune into those, and they interfere with our ability to listen to and to tune into God's voice speaking into our lives. If you'll turn to 1 Samuel 3, I just want to notice this scene in Samuel's life and notice the tuning in that needed to happen in Samuel's life. This is 1 Samuel chapter 3, picking up in verse 1. Notice just how it begins. It says, now the boy Samuel, so he's a boy, not an adult, was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And we just get this little sort of editorial comment. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. I mention that because that kind of sounds like today. This kind of encourages me as we look at this story that the setting isn't all that different in some ways than today, that it does seem rare that people seem tuned into and able to listen to God's leading, to his voice in their lives. But let's continue on. It says, at that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Pretty cool place to go to sleep. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, here I am, and ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call, lie down again. So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call, my son, lie down. lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again, a third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." And then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel, at which the 2 ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." And if you read on, you find out that Samuel actually gets some pretty heavy news. This is a fascinating story. This scene of this young man who has this encounter with God that clearly he didn't understand at the beginning. I'll tell you a little bit about Samuel. Samuel came from a blended family. Samuel's mom, Hannah, had been unable to have kids and was so distraught over this, in fact, that she had gone to a priest and was praying and was praying with such emotion and was so overwhelmed that the priest actually thought she was drunk and then realized she wasn't, that she was distraught, and told her that God was going to answer her prayer. And so Hannah has this boy Samuel, and she commits Samuel from day one to essentially spend his life serving God. Her view is, since God answered this prayer and gave me the gift of this child, I'm going to give my child back to God, to his service. And so Samuel, in a sense, grows up in the temple. It's interesting, however, that if you notice in chapter 3, it says that here's God calling to Samuel, and Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Wouldn't you think someone who grew up in the temple would probably know the Lord? Kind of the way we assume that everybody who goes to church has a relationship with Jesus. But there's probably those who are coming to church who maybe don't. And yet here's God calling out to this young man who really doesn't even know him yet. What changes in this story to allow Samuel to move from not recognizing God's voice to recognizing God's voice? And I want to be careful not to say this isn't like a three-step, if you do these things, you know, tonight you're going to go home and you're going to hear God's voice. That's not where we're getting at, but we want to learn some principles here. We notice, as well as Samuel not yet knowing the Lord, it says the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. There's a reality that sometimes God just hasn't revealed some things to us, or we haven't seen them yet. He needed some repetition. We notice this is a repetitious passage, right? Three times he calls before Samuel understands who it is. That should be encouraging to us, right? How many of us need repetition to understand things sometimes? My wife would tell you sometimes I have to be told things more than once for me to hear them and understand, right? That's how we are. And yet here's God who doesn't just give one shot and say, "Well, you missed it." He keeps pursuing this conversation with Samuel. Something else that's interesting here is that Samuel needs the help of someone else to recognize what's going on. So often I find one of the missing pieces in our lives of following God, there's this term that gets thrown around in the church that's discipleship or being discipled. In a nutshell, it's having someone in my life who's walked longer with Jesus than I have, who has some wisdom I don't have, who I can go to help me grow in the Lord. And sometimes I think we miss some of the things God would want to speak to us simply because we aren't in those kinds of relationships with other people who can help us understand what's going on in our lives, who can help us understand what God's word is saying. But here we see Samuel needs another person. He needs this little tiny version of community in order to understand that it is God that's speaking to him. And then when he gets this instruction from Eli, I love what happens. He prepares himself to listen, and then when God calls, he just simply says, "Speak, for your servant hears." It's this very humble response of basically saying, "I've opened my ears, and I'm ready. The floor is yours. I'm paying attention." He asked God to speak, and he just prepared himself to listen. That sounds so simple, but How many days do we forget to do that? Maybe in our prayer life, we just sort of rip through all the stuff that we want God to know, and then, oh, I got to go. And we forget the listening part, right? You know, it's interesting, it's actually amazing that we can train ourselves to hear very distinct things. When I was in my first year of college, I took a sight, singing, and ear training class. And it was the craziest thing that I got to, and sadly, I haven't kept it up. I can hardly hear it anymore, but you could play two notes on a piano, and I could tell you what the interval was between the notes. And I got to where you could play four notes and play a chord, and I could tell you what the chord was and all four notes, and I could not just read music, but actually could sing it in pitch off of the music from training my ear. And it was like music came alive. I could hear what was going on. You know, it was pretty wild. You can train your ear to do distinct things. I remember, Dad, I don't know if you remember this, but I specifically remember a time when a friend of mine came over to my folks' house in his Volkswagen Bug and pulled up out front, and my dad's sitting in the recliner, and just from hearing the car pull it down the street, leans over and says, "Does he know he has an exhaust leak?" And, you know, rattles off two or three things that are wrong with the engine. Because my dad's ear is tuned to engines. He can hear what's going on. It's actually pretty amazing. If you've been around moms, you can put a mom and their kid in a room with like 100 kids, right? And they can hear their kid do just about anything, like breathe differently, cry, anything. Nobody else can hear that, right? Moms, is this true? Yes. Dads, is this true that we don't hear the same stuff sometimes? Yes. But a mother's ear can be tuned to hear really distinct things that nobody else in the room is going to hear, right? Our ears actually can be trained to hear some fascinating things. I think in the same way we can train ourselves to be in tune and attuned to God's voice speaking into our lives. I think one of the holdups here is sometimes, you know, we read some of these different stories of how God spoke to certain people in just spectacular ways. We've looked at a couple of these stories the last few weeks. You know, it's stories like God speaks to Noah and says, build a boat in the middle of the desert. And we just like, that would be amazing to have that kind of experience, right? Or God speaks to Abraham and tells him he's essentially going to have the land where he sets his feet. Last week, we saw God speak to Moses through a burning bush. I mean, come on, that would be remarkable, right? Or Elijah a couple weeks ago in this cave up on a mountain, and there's wind that breaks rock and earthquake and fire and, you know, all this, and then God speaks in this small voice. Angels that appear, like to Mary in the New Testament, saying she's going to have this miracle baby, or the situation with Paul when he's blinded on the way to do really bad things. Jesus, you know, he has this encounter with resurrected Jesus that changes his life. And we can come to this place that we can't help but think, like, I wish God would speak to me like that. And anything else, maybe I'm not even tuned into. I'm kind of waiting for that, you know, writing on the clouds or whatever it is. But you know what would happen if God spoke to us like that? It would probably scare you literally to death. A lot of people wait for God to speak through these big signs or burning bush experiences. And yet even in Scripture, it's the exception that God speaks to people that way. Through all these thousands of years of history we have of God's people, it's the exception when he speaks in these miraculous and spectacular ways. I mean, maybe a couple students who are here, you know, you can imagine going on a road trip with your mom or dad. It's really long. It's really boring. You know, they pull off on a rest area because mom and dad have to go to the bathroom all the time. You're sitting there in your car texting your friends, telling them how boring this road trip is. And you look up, and there in the rest area, you see a huge tree on fire. And it's on fire, but it's not burning up. It's just glowing, and there's flames, so it's not burning up. And then this crazy thing happens that the tree starts talking to you. Like, I would guess, Max, if a tree said, "Hey, Max, take off your shoes and get out of the car and come over here because I want to talk to you," probably you wouldn't get out of the car. Most likely you would like lock the doors, look for the keys, and probably immediately figure out how to drive your parents' car and screech off and leave them there to deal with it, right? There's this reality that oftentimes I think we are waiting for those spectacular moments And when they aren't happening, we assume God isn't speaking and leading in our lives. But maybe the reality is we haven't trained our ears to listen for his voice. And there's this need for some voice recognition training. So I just want to address that question of how can we train our ears in a spiritual sense? The first thing I would say that you're probably going to expect me to say because I'm a pastor is we train our ears by knowing God's word. Especially, I would say, the words of Jesus, that we get intimately familiar with what Jesus' voice sounds like by reading what he taught. John 8 says this. Jesus says, if you abide in my word, in other words, if you know my teaching, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I love that term, if you abide in my word. It isn't just if you memorize the stuff I said. Abiding is like living in it, dwelling in it, being present. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And there's this incredible promise, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. One of the aspects that we just can't get around, if we want to train ourselves to be in tune with what God would be speaking into our lives, we have to know God's word. As those who proclaim to be followers of Jesus, we should certainly know the teachings of Jesus so that we're familiar with what his voice sounds like. Secondly, we don't just know God's word, but we obey it, we follow it. I love this line from the Psalms. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Again, it's not just this thing we know, it's leading us. We're obedient to it. As we read the teachings of Jesus, when Jesus says something radical like, pray for your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, we don't just log that as like the spiritual principle, oh yeah, I know that one. Like, we actually do it, right? And we become obedient to it. When Jesus says that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves, we don't just get that in here, but we actually become obedient and we begin serving the people around us. So we know God's word, we're obedient to God's word. There's this other aspect, one another together, and this is part of what's so beautiful about the church, that we actually listen to one another. We recognize that God has brought us together and that through one another, God provides wisdom. I just want you to hear from part of Ephesians 4, some of the things said about us is this analogy is that we're the body of Christ. We're all joined together like parts of your body are, right? So this is from Ephesians. It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. So these are sort of these different roles and giftings of people within the church. You can think of an apostle almost as a spiritual entrepreneur. They're usually the ones who go and start things. Prophets are the ones who really are able to speak forth the word of God. Evangelists are those who are just constantly sharing Jesus with people. Shepherd is another word for pastor and teachers. So he gave these people to equip the saints, that's us, for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. And then get how it continues here. To maturity, manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. There's a whole lot in here we can unpack, but there's this one line that part of how we grow is that we speak the truth in love to one another. It's not just that God gave us these sort of leadership roles for people. That's important, but there's this other aspect that's critically important, that we actually grow in our ability to follow Christ by speaking to one another truth and love, by investing in one another as we grow together. One of the ways that we listen to God's leading is we listen to how he's leading us through one another. It's not just this line between me and God. In fact, oftentimes in my life, some of the most profound things that have been spoken to me and shared with me that I just know God is in it weren't alone. It was with someone speaking into my life. So we know God's word. We obey God's word. We act on it. We listen to the people God's placed in our life. And then there's this other thing that I think we like to tune out. That we listen to our conscience. I don't know if you know this, but if you're in Christ, by God's Spirit, he's working through your conscience. I'm sure you've recognized when you're going in a direction and this like red flag and alarm goes off in your head and says, you shouldn't be doing this, right? We can listen to that, we can tune into that and respond to it, or we can hit the snooze button on that alarm, right? And say, but I want to keep doing this, right? And so one of the challenges that we deal with as a result of sin is that we, in fact, can create quite a habit of, rather than tuning into what God would say to us, we're actually actively tuning out of it because we don't want to hear it. And if we want to be led by God and we want to be recognizing his voice in our lives, we just have to come to grips with that reality that we sometimes intentionally tune out what God has to say to us because we don't like it. Because we want to do our own thing. Similar to listening to our conscience, we listen for and seek the leading of the Holy Spirit. I would suggest that doesn't happen by accident. That we are actively listening and asking for leading and depending on and trusting God's Spirit to lead us. It's interesting that we can get up in the morning and just go through our stuff, right, and on our schedule and all that, and forget to just stop and say, God, would you give direction? Would you lead me today? We can go on autopilot. Part of tuning into recognizing God's voice is simply asking for God to be leading us and listening. And then, of course, there's this aspect of, you know, when Jesus says, my sheep follow me because they know my voice, and they don't follow strangers because they don't know the stranger's voice. There are some other voices that we just need to recognize interfere with our ability to listen to God. First and foremost, one of those things screaming in our ear is sin. When we're habitually in sin and choosing to stay there, that interferes with our ability to hear God's leading. It just does. And so if we want to be serious about following God and having his direction clearly in our lives, one of the things we have to come to grips with is honestly confronting sin, where we see it present in our lives. There are these other things too, like for me, I know it's easy for me to want to please people. And so it's really easy for me to listen to what everybody else wants me to do and let that become really loud sometimes because I want to make everybody happy. And let that interfere with my ability to say, God, what do you want me to do? And one of the things I love about the example of Jesus is numerous times we find Jesus like in a village healing people, and there's still a whole bunch of people who are coming to be healed, and Jesus leaves because he knows God's calling him somewhere else. And there are people ticked off and upset, but it doesn't seem to bother him because he has a clear sense of where God is calling him when. And he's following that. He's following the will of his Father. If we're worried about what the crowds are saying and what everybody else wants from us, it can be hard to be tuned in. That can cause interference. I recognize also that sometimes our pain is a really loud voice. How many of you have recognized when you're in like really bad pain, you're not a fun person to be around? Anyone else? That's a hard thing because our pain, especially maybe it's physical, maybe it's emotional, maybe it's whatever it is, when it goes on for a long time, we can start to listen to that. I don't know if you recognize that. We can start to grumble. We can start to complain. We can start to think we have it bad. All of these, we start listening to, in a sense, this other set of voices that interfere with really listening to what God would call us to. And I know we choose that because I know plenty of people who have horrific chronic pain who don't let it direct them or speak loudly into their lives, and they're people of joy. Sometimes we also get interference just because we're chasing after the wrong finish line. You know, Jesus says some really hard things about what I would call the American dream, which is accumulation and stuff and comfort and all that. Jesus says some really hard things like, you can't serve both money and God. Like, that's two different finish lines that we'd be running towards. And so I recognize there's so many things that we can allow to interfere with our ability to tune in to God's voice in our lives. So I just ask you this morning, do you recognize some things that maybe you need to tune out of in your life? If you do, you might jot those down. One or two things that you just recognize, and these voices are interfering with my ability to really listen to the leading of Jesus. Likewise, you need to just consider a recommitment to the simple act of being in God's Word on a regular basis, of knowing the teachings of Jesus, of abiding in them and putting them into practice. Maybe you recognize this morning that you need someone to walk that journey with you. Act on that. We have some small groups that meet that you can be a part of. We have in numerous ways to connect with one another. And if you recognize this morning, like, I just need someone to walk this road with me, I'd encourage you on the tear off on your bulletin, just write that down on the back. And when we take our offering, you can pop that in there. And as long as your name's on it and a way to get a hold of you, I'll make sure we follow up with you and connect you. Jesus says his sheep hear his voice, and they follow him. That his sheep don't follow the voice of a stranger because it's unfamiliar. And the great thing is later when Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, and I know the sheep and they know me, he also says quite clearly that he lays down his life for us, that he loves us. I wonder this morning if that picture in the telegraph office is sort of like us, that the messages are being sent, but we might just be sitting there waiting and not hearing. I want to challenge you today, this week, to practice tuning your voice into God's, your ears into God's voice, to practice listening. Tune into his word, connecting community. Consider things that need to be tuned out. And I want to suggest to you quite boldly that with every ounce of who I am, I know and believe that God still speaks to his people today, that he still leads us. There are numerous promises to this extent in the New Testament. And it's with excitement that we can lean in a fresh way, asking God to speak and preparing ourselves to listen. Let's pray together. Father, even as we continue singing this morning, would you just still us? Would you quiet down the noise in our hearts and in our minds? Father, we want to be a people who clearly recognize the voice and the leading of Jesus. Father, we, as we come before you this morning, we would ask that you would reveal to us where there may be things interfering in our lives and in our hearts and our souls with our ability to listen well to your leading. And God, if some of us this morning simply need to take up a discipline of abiding in your word, would you give us obedience in that? Would you give us discipline to daily be investing in knowing your word so that we can recognize your voice. And God, for those who may be disconnected, maybe you're trying to do this on their own, would you just knit us together as your body, as a community of people who follow Jesus? God, we would ask that you would speak into our lives today and this week. We ask that you would speak through us to one another. And we would ask that you give us ears to hear and recognize and respond to your voice in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.